It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out radio show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard throughout the tri-state area. Listen on the radio at kntrtalk.com and the TuneIn radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When legendary drummer Keith Moon was MIA, who did the Who turn to?
Yo, Paulie!
When the great Pele asked for a sub, who did his World Cup team turn to?
Yo, Paulie!
Now this world-renowned musician slash athlete has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only, I mean, could you imagine a twin? Paul Lavoie.
So just that line that says, can you imagine a twin? That's a rhetorical question.
No, I answered every time. It puts shivers up and down my spine. No. Written, I can't imagine a twin.
That comes out of the mind of Greeley, of course.
Yeah.
All right, welcome to Speak Out, everybody. It's Tuesday, October 11, 2022. And being the second Tuesday of the month, yes.
Yes.
That means there's a council meeting tonight.
It is. Good morning, Paul. Good morning, Havasu. It's good to be here. And I'm Jess Knutson, your city manager. And I'm joined today by Denise Abel, who works on our code enforcement. She's nicknamed by me and others as Superwoman within the organization.
You are not kidding.
Yeah.
I was privy to a conversation between her and Mr. Greeley, and he was talking about a couple of properties and just details coming out of Denise. You're amazing. I mean, of the size, when you consider the size of this city area-wise, and 59,015 people, according to our census, right? And you knew two properties right off the bat, what the issues were. I'm not worthy. There you go. I'm doing the I'm not worthy thing.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Absolutely. How long have you been doing this?
Almost 6 years.
6 years, yeah. And she already knows the specifics on two properties like that. Mm-hmm. So, all right. I got a little bit of housekeeping to do. Is that okay with you? You know there's a school board candidate forum tonight?
There is tonight, yeah. Same time as the council meeting, unfortunately. But that's a nice one.
You notice how before you said no, I cut you off?
You expected it, huh?
I kind of did. So there are three candidates for school board, but two will be at the forum. Lisa Roman and Sharon Harvey, and it'll be monitored by Mr. Greeley, of course, from the mothership here at Radio Central. Candidates will respond and debate about questions important to serving on the Lake Havasu Unified School District Governing Board. No cost to attend, paid for by the candidates. It's tonight, 5:30 to 7:30 at the London Bridge Resort Convention Center. And I'll tell you folks right now, most of the questions that you want to ask, I would imagine, are on the question sheet. Steve and I both collaborated on that quite a bit along with the organizers for the debate. So I don't believe they're taking questions from the audience. I'm almost positive. But again, that's tonight, 5:30 to 7:30, London Bridge Resort Convention Center, if it even goes that long with only two candidates being there. So, again, Lisa...
Oh, there's only the two that are going to be there? Not the third?
Lisa Roman and Sharon Harvey will be there. We're told Barbara Lumpkins will not be there. So this is not on the radio, so you'll have to go catch it live tonight at 5:30 at the London Bridge Resort Convention Center. Didn't see the game last night. I heard a lot of it, and I heard when the Raiders went out to a big lead, and then it was vanished because of Patrick Mahomes and company, right?
Yeah, I think the Raiders were up, 17 nothing.
Yes, they were.
It was my oldest son's birthday was yesterday, so we went out to eat, so I missed part of that game. But when we left, it was 17 nothing, and then and Kansas City wins the game.
Right. Are you still interested in the NFL, by the way?
Oh, yeah. Way too much so.
Even with Trey Lance? going down?
Oh, yeah, we lost Trey Lance, NDSU draft pick. Our draft pick got NDSU, that quarterback for the 49ers. But, yeah.
Right, right.
I have way too many fantasy football teams. So,
dude, I used to have four. I don't have any these days. Boy, was that a time sucker, right?
Oh, it can be, for sure.
It can be. Yeah. Only 2 or 3 days a week. Mm-hmm. So, all right, so tonight we'll have NHL action, believe it or not. Opening game of the NHL season, Tampa Bay at New York. And that's at 4 p.m. And then tomorrow night, Suns return to the court. It's preseason against the Kings. Not sure what to make of NBA preseason. It's kind of like November NBA basketball. It doesn't really matter, right? So anyway, tons of games also this weekend. We're still adding to the college schedule as well. But right now we've got USC at Utah. And then on Friday night, Gila Ridge at Havasu. Havasu finally gets to play at home.
Perfect.
Yeah, they've got like four in a row at home. And that'll be at 7 p.m. 6:45 is the pregame on 980 a.m. and KNTRSports.com only. Steve Greeley and Bill Beckman will be calling the game. So you definitely want to tune in for that. It's the Gila Ridge Hawks. Hmm. So there you go.
And then on the home games for the Knights football games, we led up the bridge in the colors, high school colors for that.
Oh, nice. Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. The purple and gold?
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah, it looks spectacular.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. I'm going to have to go get a shot of that. Yeah. So is this homecoming week, do you know?
That I don't know.
October sure. is. If it's not this week, it's going to be coming up for sure.
Right.
So, all right, let's talk to Denise Abel. You're turning the barrel, right?
Yes,
I am. I told her as we were walking back, you weren't here, yeah. Jess, as we were walking back, it's like, you know, I haven't lost anybody yet, so don't worry about it, right? We have a good time. Yeah, yeah. Yet. That, you know what that means, right? Yeah, you're eligible, too.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, Paul, so, I was asking you off air a little bit before, too, if you knew, and he asked me to wait to ask you this question on air. You know, Denise was, for several years, was the only code enforcement official for Lake Havasu City. We have since hired, was it Lauren Allison?
Yes.
Yeah, as part of the code enforcement team now. So that, looking forward to some great things and a little bit of relief for Denise. How many cases do you think that were locked into the system that Denise did all by, by herself, code enforcement cases?
Now, so I never gauged a guess on this.
You
did I?
Yeah. And to add to that too, there's certain, requests that come in or complaints come in about your neighbor, about weeds or whatever else. And Denise will make a phone call to the owner, and sometimes that can be resolved in a quick phone call. So I don't think you even logged those into that system.
So are you talking about resolution from start to finish?
Code enforcement complaints, or you can help me, Denise, just complaints that come in that go through the process.
Yeah. I'm going to say 5 a week times 52 weeks, so 260.
Times 3.
Holy moly.
Yeah, almost.
Yeah, what's 700 and change, right?
Yeah.
Really?
Like
yeah.
That.
That's insane.
Isn't that crazy?
How does one person do all that?
That she is Superwoman.
You must be.
It's communication with the citizens, calling them. I think it's a big deal to be able to call somebody and talk to them about what's going on, and I can resolve it quick.
Well, there must be a process then that you go through to, and I don't know if it's an SOP or not, a standard operating procedure that you have to go by, but there must be some sort of process that you go through to expedite things to make for 3 times the number of cases that I would think you could do by yourself.
Yes, it's streamlining by calling the citizens and talking to them, and also asking the reporting party, when you see this is cleaned up, can you give me a call or shoot me an email? And it just expedites it to where I'm not driving all over the city constantly.
Sure. Is it normally about cleanup? Is that what code enforcement is? Or are we talking about too close to the property line on some things? What are the major complaints?
Majority would be junk vehicles or inoperable vehicles. Weeds, we have, you know, that. And there are building and zoning violations that I enforce, but those take a little more detailed work.
How do you know when something's not petty, just between two neighbors that don't like each other?
Well, you don't.
But you're getting in the middle of it.
Right. And I try to avoid that by just talking to them. And my goal is to get them to say thank you and be happy when we get off the phone, whether it be the homeowner or the reporting party.
Are you commercial, residential, or both?
Both.
Holy moly, Jess. You do have Superwoman.
Yeah, we do.
So Denise Abel is a senior code enforcement officer for Lake Havasu City. And, of course, City Manager Jess Knutson is here as well. And we have Denise in the studio because there's a nuisance code clarification item on the agenda tonight.
Yes, Paul. On the council's reviewed the item for was introduced at the last council meeting, and then tonight the council will be voting on changes to two chapters within the city code. One dealing with our nuisance chapter, which is pretty much the chapter that identifies any violations that can occur in the community. We talked about weeds and dead trees and junk vehicles, and I think Denise, you've said that's like 35 to 40% of your calls actually is junk vehicles.
Yes, it is.
So there's some language in there that kind of clarifies what exactly is legal in terms of having a vehicle parked in out front or invisible from the right of way, and some clarity there. When we talk about the update to the chapter and what it does, it's also important to talk about what what the language does not do. The language does not, the council's not considering the number of operable vehicles in the front of or parked on someone's property, whether that's your a watercraft that's water ready and registered and insured, or RVs or vehicles, those types of things too. So, and just want to make sure that there's some clarity here. We're not talking about the number of operable vehicles, but we are talking about the definition of what is an operable vehicle and what is not, and so forth. Maybe I can let you, Denise, maybe talk about what is an operable vehicle
I wanted to get some phone calls from the public.
Yeah.
Folks definitely have questions out there. 928-854-5687, 928-854-KNTR. So instead of calling code enforcement, you can just call the show, kind of keep it general, don't give out your address, and just ask, you know, hey, is this in compliance? But what I want to know is how do you know what's I have a friend with vehicles in their front yard, not in the yard, but in the driveway. Some run, some don't. How do you know when it's in violation of code?
Well, if it's obviously obvious reasons, flat tires, expired registration, then that's obvious. But speaking to the owners and finding out, well, does it run? You know, what's happening with it? If it's up on jacks, that's not allowed. It's educating the public because sometimes they don't realize that it's not allowed.
So we know it's not allowed in the front yard. What about in the backyard?
The backyard, as long as it's behind a gate, which is on our new ordinance, what we're talking about tonight, behind a gate or a fence or shrubs and you can't see it, you can have an inoperable vehicle. Now, if it can be seen by someone else's property, then you would have to have a car cover on it, and that's only in the backyard. In the front yard, we don't allow the car covers to screen an inoperable vehicle. And inoperable vehicles fall under junk, where you can only have 200 square foot of that, which equals about two vehicles, and then you can't have any additional junk. All must be screened from the public right away.
Wow.
So only operable vehicles in the front yard or anything that's that can be seen from the public right away, including the neighbors, right? It's got to be licensed, it's got to be insured, and it's got to be roadworthy. Or in the case of watercraft, it's got to be waterworthy. And if they're not, then, as Denise is saying, that you can have up to two vehicles if they're screened and covered, you know, essentially in the backyard and out of view.
Denise, how much has the Airbnb situation in this town, Verbo, the seasonal rentals, how much has that added to your phone calls, for example? And people probably call and say, they can't be in compliance, right?
Correct. I get quite a few calls asking about them and complaining about them because there's so many vehicles, they're parked backwards and the noise. But that's not something that we regulate. If they're roadworthy vehicles, it's okay. If it's traffic, the police department would have to handle it, or noise, the police department.
What do you mean
would.
By park backwards, like left wheel to the curb type
yeah,
thing?
Yeah,
that is
exactly.
A ticket, by the way. I got it once.
Yeah, blocking driveways, that's a big one. People get upset about that.
Yeah, I picked a ticket up. I was at a friend's house, and I picked a ticket up off my dash that night. It was like 12:30. Left wheel to the curb. I went, what? No. What is that? Anyway, caller, you're live on Speak Out.
Hello, Paul, and everybody. This is Wayne.
Hey, Wayne.
Hey, Wayne.
Hi. Hey, I apologize. I just tuned in, so I hope I don't make you repeat yourself, but this is something, this is a topic that kind of bugs me. So you can park anywhere in your front yard as many vehicles as long as they're operable. Is that right?
Well, right now the existing code allows that that to happen, and then we're talking about changes to the ordinance that the city code that the council is going to consider tonight, which would put more restrictions on the inoperable vehicles or the junk vehicles that could be parked in the front yard. They would not be allowed in the front yard or
away. You're not addressing operable vehicles at this point.
No,
I mean, like I've got some people around my house. They've graded their whole front yard and made it look like a parking lot, and they got 6-7 vehicles parked there.
Whoa.
That's okay, but I mean, I'm just asking. That's all right under the current code.
Under the current code, that is acceptable, and it's not for consideration in this evening.
Wayne, do they move every day? Do they move their vehicles?
Some of them, but I mean, they grade it and it looks just like a parking lot. Do you think that will be addressed in the future? I'm just concerned about that. Sure. You know, property values are up. That means property taxes go up, which I understand. But actually, the look of the neighborhoods are going down in all reality. And so I was hoping that, and I know you can only take one thing at a time, but I'm hoping in the future that is looked at.
Yep, Wayne. You know, that's we try to pride ourselves on being as responsive to our residents and transparent and open to these types of conversations. If we have others such as yourself expressing those same concerns to the degree that it would spur change, that's when the city would take a look at it.
Okay, appreciate that.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Great question, Wayne.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
All righty.
You too. And, again, Wayne is actually the owner. I was asking about commercial or residential. Wayne owns Neat Pool and Supply.
Okay.
So I was waiting for a question regarding commercial code enforcement, you know, because I don't know if all businesses treat their businesses the same or some are out of compliance. I don't know. Plus, you have a lot that are storage-related or mechanical, like,
right.
You know, those people that have to store those types of vehicles. Let's talk about that when we come back.
Okay.
What's allowed and what isn't, especially if you're a mechanic's garage, for example, right? All right, back with more in a moment. I'm Paul Lavoie. Little surprise to hear the John Denver, I think. Everybody is, because we normally play Beastie Boys about right now, right?
I like it. I love John Denver.
Must be played for me.
Denise wanted John Denver. There you go. I was going to say, thank God I'm a country boy. All right. Stay with us. We'll be right back on Speak Out. We're with Denise Abel, Senior Code Enforcement Officer and Lake Havasu City Manager 1, Jess Knudsen. You know that joke already?
Yes. It's
City
an old
Manager
pirate
2?
Joke. Yeah.
That's Jerry.
That's Jerry Rugamani. Absolutely.
She's City Manager 2 now.
She's wonderful.
I'm lobbying to get her title changed, by the way.
Okay. It's not working.
All right. Back with more in a moment.
When I was a little bitty boy, just up off the floor, we used to go out to Grandma's house and so had chicken pie and country ham, homemade butter on the bread. But the first darn thing about Grandma's house was a great big feather bed. It was 9 feet high and 6 feet wide, soft as a downy chick. Ha! Made from the feathers of 4 11 geese, took a whole one o'clock for the chick.
So there's Grandma's feather bed. There's a reason why we're playing that, right, Denise?
Yeah, that's for Claire, my youngest granddaughter. Well, my youngest granddaughter of my daughter's kids, but she loves John Denver like her Grandma Pink.
Is that your nickname?
Yep, they call me Pink.
I love that. All right, Speak Out brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage, also Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford, Arizona Financial Credit Union, GDK LLC, Springberg Wealth Management, Patio Paradise, and by samsguns.com. And there should be a card right there on the Cardinals card holder. Denise, you can actually listen to the show later at kntrtalk.com and listen to it with your granddaughter. She can hear her favorite song.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. They'll be on their way to Kentucky and... listening.
Nice. Not West Virginia?
No. They're going to go see that arc.
All right, perfect. All right, and we're also on the Lake Havasu City app, which is available at the Google Play and Apple iStore. And I had no idea you went back and or listened to the show live, Jess. I had no idea. Not mentioning any shows specifically.
Sure.
I'm just saying.
No, I mean, the website is great. You can go back there and look at certain guests and be able to kind of pick and choose and listen at your pleasure. It's fantastic.
Yeah. Hey, are you ready for this, by the way? Are you ready for the Lake Havasu Classic Outboard Championships?
When is the date? It's coming up, isn't it?
This weekend.
This weekend.
Starts Friday, the meet and greet with the riders at the Nautical.
Nice.
This is a race ride experience contest from Romer Beverage. Have you heard about this?
A little bit, yeah.
Are you going to...
Is that the same event that occurred last year?
Yes.
Yeah, we had a nice showing for that.
So it's right around the corner. Coming up this weekend, Romer Beverage is giving three lucky winners, ages 21 and over, so we qualify, the chance to ride in the purpose-built Formula One two-seater that is used as the series pace boat. Entering is easy. Go to either Facebook or Instagram and like the post from Romer Beverage, which talks about the Race Ride Experience contest. Tag two friends, so that means you have to share it with two friends, and follow at Romer Beverage on either Facebook or Instagram.
And you get to ride.
You get to ride in it.
Oh, that's
awesome. Doesn't say you get to drive it,
yeah,
but you get to ride in it.
Fun.
So for anyone who's ever done a ride along in one of the jets or I've done the, I can't remember the plane I was riding. I was at the Chino Air Museum. I got to do a ride along as a cameraman.
Oh, fun.
And, land on aircraft carriers, that kind. Those kinds of things are really fun to do. So
landing on an aircraft carrier?
Get to land on an aircraft carrier.
Oh, man.
But that was because I was a cameraman on a morning show shoot.
Wow.
So a lot of fun, But yeah, you definitely want to enter that Romer Beverage contest because that's stuff you'll never forget. You'll spend the rest of your life going, wow, that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
So let's talk about that code enforcement issue we were talking about with businesses. How do businesses get out of compliance with code enforcement?
How do they get out of compliance? Well, there's
just
different zones.
Examples.
Well, we have different zoning throughout the city. So depending on where they're zoned is what they're allowed to have. A business out of compliance would be,
have a mechanic shop. Okay, you have a mechanic shop, and there's, I don't know, they don't put their vehicle. There's one I can think of that's on Lake Havasu Avenue, for example, and I'm like, wow, how is that in compliance?
Well, and some of them they'll try to park in the alleys and things like that and leave them. That's during the day, they'll use the edge of the alley, but overnight, they're not allowed to leave them out there overnight and block the alleyways. That kind of thing. Dumpster areas, that's a big issue. Things start piling up. They don't clean them out.
Sure, sure. But you're only one person. A lot of your job, well, now there's two.
Yeah.
But a lot of your jobs depend on other people giving you tips, correct?
Right. We are report generated only. So we don't go out looking for this stuff. It's all report generated. So
really? You can't just wink, wink at me? So it is really referral generated.
Yes. Yeah.
Interesting.
Absolutely.
How many referrals would you say you get a day or in a week?
Oh, in a day or a week, it's over 100 or more.
How many are the same people over and over and over again?
10% maybe.
Yeah.
But sometimes there's different people for the same violation. And that one, it's like, there's a problem because everybody keeps calling about it.
Did they try orchids and onions first?
No, thank God. They don't do that all the time.
What's that?
I don't get that all the time, but sometimes I do. Yeah.
Really?
As soon as I hear about it, I see what I can do to get it cleared up too.
What areas of Havasu, well, obviously Desert Hills is one that you would not go into.
Correct.
What are some of the areas that you would not go into?
Would not go into Desert Hills, anything outside of the city limits.
Is that Donkey Acres too?
Yes, correct. That's county area.
Okay, interesting. Wow. It's just fascinating to me. Do you carry a firearm?
No, I do not.
You don't, because I know there are code enforcement officers in other cities that do.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about a little bit about one of the cities earlier, and I know they have firearms training.
Mm-hmm.
So, what's some of the worst situations that you've seen here in town?
It's, believe it or not, excessive vehicles, junk vehicles all over the front yard. They collect them, they hoard them. I've got junk also. usually when there's an inoperable vehicle or junk vehicle, there's junk with it. So, and there's hoarders. They're, you know, they just collect a lot of stuff. That takes a long time.
That's got to be a big problem because I don't know what it is about my personality. I am not a hoarder. I'm very neat and orderly, and obviously it doesn't show here in the studio, but no, I'm talking about at home. Everything has to be in a certain place, and there's a reason for that, or else I'll just be trying to find stuff all day long. But for some reason, I'm attracted to friends that are hoarders, and it can be a big problem. What did you do in that situation? What do you do? I mean, you're coming in, somebody's complaining about this person and their property, and they're obviously a hoarder. You have old washing machines, refrigerators, that sort of thing on the property. What enforcement capability do you have? How do you work with that person? Because they're clinging on for life.
It's giving them tools to dispose of these items. That's one of the biggest things, educating them. And working them, giving them opportunity, but also enforcing where if they don't clean it up, they get citations and they can go to court. I've had a couple go to court and all the way to criminal prosecution because they were not complying.
And I think, Paul, if I can jump in, that's kind of the balance of what Denise and her team works with, right, is that we have that sentiment is like, how do you help somebody get to the compliance? And that's truly the goal, right,
mm-hmm.
is compliance, is to work with the property owner and with some resources and tools to get to that place. The other side of the coin is, I called you last week, and I still see the violation occurring. When are you going to get there? When's it going to get resolved? When's it going to get fixed? When can I see a result? And so there's that balance that takes place. So I know as far as the timing, there's notifications that go out, Denise. Maybe talk about that so people have an expectation of if somebody contacts you or your team, and what does that, what's the timing look like?
If I'm able to contact the owners verbally, I contact them either in person or over the phone, mm-hmm. and advise them what the violation is and whatnot. If they don't comply within a week, I give them a week. Or let's say they're going to be gone for 10 days. Okay, I give them 10 days. And then if they don't comply by then, they'll get a violation correction notice, which gives them an additional 30 days. In 2 weeks, I still check up on it, see if there's progress, because they're not going to be able to clean it in one day usually.
I got you.
Give them a reminder notice if they haven't, and then after the 30 days, then we can go to citation or court, you know, whatever the violation constitutes what we need to do.
Well, hopefully I'm still in compliance even though I started the music early. I'm just saying.
Kind of distracted me there with John Denver, a little bit.
But once you commit, it's like a fast break in basketball or a counterattack in soccer. Once you commit, you're committed.
Yeah.
So, there you go. All right. We're with Denise Abel. She's a senior code enforcement officer for the city of Lake Havasu City. And Lake Havasu City Manager Jess Knutson. And how many times can I say Lake Havasu City as we go out? Right? The word city.
Yeah. Right. Make it a drinking game, right?
Yeah. Oh, we could.
Yeah.
We could.
No, we shouldn't.
Or people could send me an emoji.
Yeah.
You know, like a wow emoji. That kind of thing. All right, I'm Paul Lavoie. We'll be right back. Stay with us on Speak Out.
So kiss me and smile for me. Tell me that you wait for me. Hold me like you'll never let me go.
Had to go there, Jess.
Love it.
Had to. Well, thank goodness for that one, right? All right, Denise Abel's here. We didn't want to shock Denise either.
Yeah.
We might not be in compliance with the FCC. Anyway, Denise Abel's the senior code enforcement officer for Lake Havasu City. Of course, we have city manager Jess Knutson here as well. Speak Out brought to you. What in the world is
what
going
are you
on
doing
with
over
your
there,
music,
Paul?
Man?
Who played this?
Brought to you and me, in part by Mojave Community College, also Herbs, SunPower by Esme Electric, the Lewis team, Remax by the Lakewood team leader, Bobby and Julie Lewis, and our newest sponsor, Les Olson IT. Got to do that one, right? Your company's one source for office technology. Go online to lesolson.com/Kingman. Les Olson, OLSON.com/Kingman. Tomorrow, folks, is a community healthcare expo with 40 providers and local resources and wellness experts, a live DJ, hula. What is hula? Like hula hoop?
Sure.
Or the hula? Oh, it's like aloha a hula. Right, right, right. Oh,
there you go.
Tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Aquatic Center on Park Avenue. It's the Community Healthcare Expo presented by Western Arizona Senior Living and River Cities United Way, and a ton of sponsors. And thanks to those folks for getting me the it's Angie Foltz gave me the flyer for
Angie's
that.
Wonderful.
Yeah, she's doing a great job.
She is.
I didn't realize that she actually brought them here to Lake Havasu City until I read the article this morning. So pretty cool stuff.
Great stuff.
So there's a lot that goes into this nuisance code clarification. There's a number of different items on the agenda. Why don't you explain those? There's an 8.2, 8.3. Mm-hmm. These all kind of go together, right, Jess?
Certainly there's some linkage here. But we talked about 8.1, which is the changes to the nuisance section of the city code. But in relation to this, we're also council will be reviewing changes to Chapter 1.12, which is the interference portion of the city code. Right now, it is a criminal charge if anybody interferes with our animal control officers. When we took a close look at it, and Denise had a little bit of a run-in, and thankfully she's okay because of it, but just a couple months ago. But at that point, we didn't have the language in the code that protects her from any type of interference that could occur. And now it's a criminal charge if anybody it does interfere in a fashion that's obviously not respectful.
Denise, do you think that person knew that when they confronted you?
Knew
that you couldn't do anything about them charging you?
I don't think he really would had thought about it.
Oh, okay.
You know, but he'll know now.
Oh, interesting. Interesting. So, we were talking about the nuisance code clarification. And
what are
you exactly looking for? And is this going to staff first, or has it already gone?
So it's been reviewed on multiple different levels at the staff level and conversations that I've had with individual council members. We spoke about this at our last council planning session that we do once a year. And so we've had these conversations going on for quite some time and just trying to make sure that we're doing something that's fair and consistent and provides Denise and our residents with the clarity that's needed in terms of the nuisance portion of the code. It's something that can impact every one of our residents, and whether it's yourself and your property that might be in violation and needs compliance, or one of your neighbors. And so it's an important one. We want to make sure that we get it right. So we've spent a lot of time mulling over language and Denise putting that practical experience and everyday experience to making sure that that matches up greatly as well too. So
I've seen some code enforcement nightmares, especially in some parts of I'll call the city out, Fort Mojave. Mm-hmm. There's some code enforcement nightmares there if you drove through some of the neighborhoods. Tell me about the process. Like if you see a tattered garage door, a house that's obviously run down, weeds in the yard, you cite them for different things. What is the process after you get there? After the call's made, you go out, you look at the property, you're like, holy cow, they're in violation of this, and this. What do you do then? Do you contact the owner? Do they go to court? What happens?
Yes, I would contact the tenants or the owner who was ever at the residence at the time. If no contact is made, then I would send a letter with including pictures showing what the violations are to the owner and the tenant. Sometimes it's the same, but get it out to everybody.
So what happens after that?
After that, I check it in a week. If they don't comply, well, depending on when the timeline, sending the letter out, a week to 30 days. If they don't comply, then a citation is issued, and that citation goes to court. After that, if they don't pay the citation, then we go to criminal prosecution with our city prosecutor. If, let's say they pay the citation and they don't clean up the mess or take care of the problem, a citation can be written every single day after the court date. That violation, and the fees multiply.
Yeah, what does it start at?
It's $400 for the first offense, $800 for the second, and $1,200 for the third. And every consecutive day after that, it would be $1,200 every day. If we've never had to go to that because we talk to the citizens, and usually they're very cooperative about taking care of it. Most often, they didn't realize it was a violation.
So 8-4-12, so you're right there after the third one at $2,400, mm-hmm. right? And then $1,200 a day after that?
Right. And that's why, rather than going that, we go with criminal prosecution because it seems to have a greater effect on getting the problem solved quicker.
My goodness.
And the goal here is not to find somebody or to collect dollars or go through the court process or any of that. It's compliance.
It's compliance.
And Denise and her team does a wonderful job with that. And that's first and foremost.
I would agree by the looks of Lake Havasu City when you drive in, when you go through the neighborhoods, looks pretty good. Mm-hmm. You know, it looks like you're doing your job. What went into the choice for another code enforcement officer, though?
Being overwhelmed with so many calls. There was no way I could handle them within what's written as our policy and procedure to get it done the amount of calls coming in.
I understand that part, and you go into Justin saying, hey, I need more people, right? But what were you looking for in an officer is I guess what I should have asked you.
An officer that has the same philosophy that the city likes as more of an education compliance as opposed to enforcement. We don't want to go out and start, you know, hitting everybody with tickets all along the street.
Right.
You know, we want compliance. And that's I think that's what the citizens want, too.
Did you want someone with a law enforcement background? What background were you looking for? Was it more of a personality?
Yeah, it was more of a fit for the job. Somebody who could hit the ground running, which lucked out with Lauren. I mean, she hit the ground running and knows how to talk to people. It's being able to talk to people and communicate with them without offending them, you know.
Right.
It's not easy.
I would not make a good code enforcement officer, Jess.
Yeah. You know, it's not easy to be able to deliver bad news in a way that that's respectful and where the recipient is open to it.
Yeah. There's an old joke that the definition of a diplomat is someone who can tell you to go to hell in a way that you're looking forward to the trip.
Exactly.
That's kind of what you're looking for.
Oh, my goal is to get them to say thank you after I've come and told them that they need to take care of this and take care of that. And when they say thank you so much, I really appreciate you, and shake my hand, it's like, wow.
How cool is that?
Yeah, that's what I like. That's my goal.
I have a question. I think this is for you, Jess. Via text from one of our listeners. When is the 95 improvements? When is that project scheduled to start?
So that's an ADAP project, and we're doing our best to track that as closely as we can. But as far as like what you'll see in the street and all the rest, we're expecting that to happen maybe in the April May timeframe.
Good. Yeah. All right. Mm-hmm. Let's take a phone call. Caller, you're live on Speak Out.
Yes, kind of tongue in cheek, but. I want that code enforcement officer to go find the city over Acoma and Lake Havasu Avenue by Dave's Appliances.
Sure.
That's a main break. That intersection, you got to have four-wheel drive vehicles.
Can I tell you the story of why it is the way it is?
I know why. No, why is it fixed?
Go ahead and recap it, just for the listeners.
So we're over on Lake Havasu Avenue in the Acoma intersection. We had a water main break. It's been probably 3 months now. And shortly after we had that water main break, we went to council. And it was a project that was going to be done in this year. If we could have waited a couple months before that break happened, we'd be in a really good situation. But we had that break happen. And the project that we're going to have here is going to be going from Acoma area and a little bit south of there, north of Lake Havasu Avenue for several blocks will be a water main replacement program. And part of that, too, obviously, when you place the water mains underneath the road, a portion of that project will be to redo the roads above that. We did want to spend money. The city saved about $40,000 waiting for about having that condition of that road in that way for about 3 months. We saved $40,000 to wait rather than putting asphalt down and then having to dig it up a couple months later. So that's why it is. That project should start here, and it was supposed to be mid-October, and we're getting pretty close to mid-October right now. So we should see that project commence here shortly. But the reason why we didn't do the necessary and finishing touches for the road there is because we're about to rip it up anyway.
Okay, so you'll be stuck this month.
Yeah, as long as I want to make sure that Denise understands that, so she doesn't come after me. So, but
yeah, you better watch out.
Yeah, I got a question for the caller. Are you there?
Yeah.
Am I still your second favorite speak out host?
Oh yeah.
All right.
Yeah, right after Galloway.
Exactly. All right. I'm going to have to tell Roger that. He'll get a kick out of it. Appreciate you, man. Thanks.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. We're looking at another item on the agenda, too. With the
I want to talk about 8.3.
Yeah, Arizona Complete Health Week with wait a minute. Did I get that right?
Yeah, it is. It's not in the title, in the title it talks about a crisis intervention agreement with Community Health Associates. There's a company that's funded in large part through like Medicaid and Medicare. They get some funding, I believe, through Arizona Department of Health Services. They're coming to Havasu, and they just started pretty much day one was October 3rd. So last week is when they kind of started answering the phone calls and providing mental health services in Lake Havasu City. It's a big deal for us. Talking to Chief Doyle, about 25 to 30 calls per month, every month, Paul, that come in through the 911 and through our police department. Those calls are associated one degree or another with mental health issues, whether that's suicide or otherwise. People call 911 and they say, "I'm about to commit suicide." And in the past, what we do is an officer shows up, and that's our officers are trained. They're professionals. They know how to do their job. But they show up to a home where somebody is threatening suicide with a gun and a badge, and that can have a negative response coming from that individual, regardless of who the person is behind that gun and that badge. Mm-hmm. So we're very lucky to have a partnership and to attract these folks to Lake Havasu City, and they'll be working out of our police department if the agreement is adopted by council this evening. Day one, we've already had our officers have discussions with the folks over at Arizona Complete Health, bouncing different ideas on how do we handle mental health issues from a broad picture perspective, but also just the tips and interactions and how that works out. Denise, you and Lauren had an interaction a couple of days after they started providing services with an individual in the community that has some mental health issues, and maybe you can describe a little bit about that.
Yes, we had a code violation, and I was already familiar with this citizen. And finding out about this program, I was able to reach out to the police department and have one of their associates, along with police officers, join us in order to discuss what was going on with this citizen. Because it's different. You can't just tell them to clean it up because they don't understand.
Right. Yeah, and from my understand that they had conversations with the homeowner about how does this person get to groceries?
Correct.
Does this person have family in the area, and try to provide this person with resources?
Right.
From your perspective, a citation is not going to do any good, right?
Yeah. No, and the questions were pertinent.
Yeah.
Okay, we don't have a lot of time, but I'm going to ask the caller to keep it quick and then listen off the air. Caller, you're live on Speak Out.
Yeah, we're talking about the city itself, but the ingress and egress to Lake Havasu City along Highway 95 is a complete mess and an eyesore, from trash to weeds to landscape that's not even near complete. I get that it's probably part of ADOT's responsibility or whatever, but do we have code enforcement go after ADOT? It's quite embarrassing, actually, from the RVs to our park. I know that's state land and all that nonsense, but it still makes our city look like a total eyesore.
I was thinking the same thing driving in the other day. What are we, your trash can, for some of these visitors? So, yeah, good point, Colin. Very good point.
Yeah, and
thank you, by the way. We're running up to the end of the show, okay?
Yeah, if I can, Paul, real quickly.
I'll hang up.
Yeah,
thank you.
Thank you for the comment. And we hear this a lot. And any conversations or interactions I have with ADOT, it's when's the next cleaning scheduled to come in. We're a tourist town, right? And we have a lot of people that come in and out, and they're not helpful. The landfill of that location, and people aren't tarping their loads, that has an impact, too.
Right.
So contact ADOT and tell them to clean up their road, and we'll do the same.
Or your organization can contact them like we do at Kiwanis.
Yeah.
And every time we've gone out in the last two or three trips for the Adopt-A-Highway, someone's found a $100 bill.
That's awesome.
Is that crazy?
Yeah, literally $100 bills, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
That could be you, Denise.
Yeah. Boy. Maybe I should rethink that.
You get a raise. Thanks so much for being here. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Again, that's Denise Abel. She is a senior code enforcement officer. And we have Lake Havasu City Manager Jess Knudsen. Thanks for being here, Jess.
Thanks, Paul.
You have to go out with Country Roads, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out. Country Roads. Everybody was kung fu fighting. Man, was I in the mood for that song. Unfortunately, Mr. Kung Fu Fighting Sean Hannity, Karate Man, is up next after news and a short break. By the way, Denise just told us off the air that they're approaching 800 already, and it's only October. 800 complaints to code enforcement. Crazy stuff. All right, again, Hannity's up next, preceded by Fox News. We'll talk to the Chamber and Esme Electric tomorrow on Speak Out.
This is KNTR Talk, AJJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM and 106.3, the voice of the free.